Once in a while, ministers gather and talk about what they're going to talk on 3 days in church calendar. And as your ears serving ministry gets more and more, there's question, what shall I talk? Because there's Palm Sunday, there's Easter, there's Christmas. All stories are basically fixed. And theme is quite identical. And you are to deliver message. Amazing thing, though, is this is my 15th year talking about Palm Sunday. And I never picked the same topic. Either the book I'm reading is changing every year I'm reading, or I'm changing every year. But somehow, this year, this phrase, King of Israel, caught my attention. King of Israel, what does that mean? When we say king, then king is sometimes of the land. Ancient days, a king of Germany, king of Britain, king of Scotland. Or sometimes king is of the people, because there are people who does not own the land or settle in, like king of Mongols. Mongolians didn't have land, but nomadic people. Israel was never really name of a land. There was a kingdom that existed carrying that name at the maximum of 80, maybe 90 years. Could say a little more. There is people who are called Israelites, but also that only existed for how long? By the time Jesus came, there was no one really calling themselves, I am an Israelite. There were Jews. So this phrase, King of Israel, really caught my attention. What does that mean? This ancient kingdom called Israel, if it's a real kingdom, which was built by King David. The truly united kingdom of Israel started with King David after he accomplishes all his battles. And it lasted the time of King Solomon, which is 40 years. You know, realistically, there are about 50 years of time that kingdom existed. And right after that, as probably some of you, or many of you know, the kingdom was torn apart. So north was called Israel, south was called Judah. And the kingdom of Israel that belonged to north was destroyed by Assyrian Empire. And all the leaders were taken and literally scattered. So, but in prophecy, and even repeated in this Palm Sunday scripture story, tells us that King of Israel and King is in your midst and you should be joyful, singing the songs. How does that really relate to us? I mean, how does that really relate to the people of Israel or Jews at the time of Jesus? One thing what they were expecting was not exactly what Jesus was about to do. We all know the story. According to the prophecies, they were hoping to have the king, the real king, like King David or Moses, the second Moses. Whoever it is could deliver them out of this oppression and foreign power and give them their own empire, kingdom. And Jesus could be the one. And he never denied. Matter of fact, he accepted and approved the title that I am the king. If you really, really read the Gospels carefully, it could confuse you even more. What does that mean? He never practiced any kingship. He never practiced any authority like a king. So all this, and as you probably know, right after this glorious, with just the saying, king of might, king of triumph, that doesn't really apply to Jesus. And right after that entry, what he does is that, oh, by the way, my kingdom doesn't belong here. My kingdom's in another realm. My kingship's, therefore, in another realm. So third understanding could be when we say king of Israel, may not be king of a land, king of a people, but then third one could be king of a specific state of being that could be understood from the name Israel. You know who Israel was? His previous name was Jacob. When Jacob had a long journey and come back with his 11 sons and one daughter, and when he was about to meet his brother Esau, from whom he stole the birthright. So he's assuming that his brother's pretty mad at him still and probably willing to kill him. So he was so afraid that he would set all his children and wives before him. He would stand at the last line. And he's spending a night at the same place he had a dream, the vision, the letter that goes to heaven and angels up and down, the Jacob's ladder dream. And this time, he is wrestling with the supernatural being, God. And he's wrestling with this being all night. And at the end of that, he gets his name changed from Jacob, which means the heel holder, because he was holding the heel of his brother, twin brother Esau. Name changes to be Israel, means to prevail over or to struggle, wrestle with. El means God. So if you put them together, his name means either one who prevails over God, or one who wrestles and struggles with God. Israel. And his children, the 12 sons, becomes the 12 tribes of Israel. So he is the father of the kingdom, and the people were called Israelites and Israel. Now, what does that mean to prevail over God? Can you prevail over God? Probably not. So we go, a lot of biblical scholars go to with the second meaning, wrestle, struggle with God. Isn't that interesting though? Why not blessed by God or just God is salvation, like Joshua? Why not such a glorious name? Why one who wrestles and struggles with God? And that's the beginning of this whole people and the whole story, basically. And Jesus is called King of Israel. To me, this is fascinating. To a degree, our life is all about wrestling with God. Either this God could be your really true God, or the God that we identify as a problem in this world. There are so many troubles and problems, pains, sufferings in this world, and if you have a good heart, you want to fix them all, right? Can we but even fix my own little problem? There are so many things that we struggle with. Internally, there is something called inner temptation, inner struggle to be good. So there's outside struggle, but also inside struggle. Yet, the real fascinating part is that the king of Israel, the presence of this king, should bring joy to you, delight to you, make your heart to sing loud. I mean, when was your last time that you really sang like my daughter Joanne, you know, my... She's 5 and she sings, and when she sings, you can see, you know, there's nothing else in her mind, but she's joyful. And there's no worries about, the, you know, all these other things, wars and the crimes and the traffics and inflations and political corruptions, and she doesn't have any of that. She sings. And to a degree, King of Israel and his presence in you, amongst you, will bring such joy to your heart. How? That was my question. Yeah, when I reached that, how is it possible? So that's what I was asking. When was the last time your heart was so delighted that you couldn't help but sing? Was it yesterday? About a month ago? A year ago? Do you remember when that was? See? As we grow, be adult, we have many things that sometimes help to deal with this world and these relationships, but sometimes that binds us, becomes burdens and yokes and limitations that we can't even express our real joy. You know, one of the times that I heard, I'm an adult, I shouldn't do that. Really. But then you also see that when you get really senior age, you see that they just do whatever that is right in their heart. We all want to be delightful and joyful, and wants to, I believe, stay in that moment, in that feeling, in that sensation. You have that, right? I'm not sure when you felt it last time, but it was good. I can guarantee that it was good, right? When you felt, there's this joy, delight. You know, heart is like, only if like it's going to explode. But you feel so light at that moment. And world looks beautiful, and every people look like angels. You have that moment. It could be first time you're in, you know, falling in love. I'm not sure that's what happened, but you have that. I believe all of you. The question is, why can't we stay in that moment? And or, right now, are you feeling quite comfortable? Right? Peaceful? Can you stay in this moment, carry this state of being throughout the week? Why not? Right? See? That's the challenge. So King of Israel, when it says king, king is the owner, the ultimate power, the authority. When that king reigns upon us, we have faith that not just this moment, but every single moment in our life is in that reign. And that might help to carry this peaceful moment more permanent in us. And when that happens, your heart is more fulfilled, satisfied, at peace, content. And when that moment accumulates, you can't help but sing. And sometimes you may even dance. I don't know how to dance, but I see my body sometimes moving like that. It's not that I'm dancing, but it's so joyful, so it moves. If you make me to dance, you'll see a horrible dancer. Oh, yeah. I went to the nightclub with my friends when I was 20, and literally I had about a perimeter of like 10 feet around me. Nobody was around me. But when your heart is in that, but it's not something that you want to artificially generate. That's what this Bible is saying. The presence of God, the presence, and our acceptance and acknowledgement of this presence will bring inner joy, inner delight, that will make our existence feel lighter. And somehow in that moment, all these problems that we're worrying about, struggling with this whole world, may disappear. That'd be great. We may have to deal them again next day, but it's good to have that moment that everything just disappears and purely being there. Palm Sunday, to me, is about acknowledging and accepting this presence of God, who is love, who loves you. And, as the little ones are saying, you should love God back. Plus, love each other. Amen. Amen.